You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And let's begin by bringing you up to speed, dear listener and dear viewer, on the line movement today with the three games coming up on Sunday with this edition of It Moved.
I think it moved.
It moved.
It hits different during the NFL playoffs, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sunday, triple header, too. Oh, yeah.
It is pretty outstanding. So, Ken, we've got some significant movement to report in this Buccaneers-Eagles game in Tampa. The first game going to be played today, obviously. The totals come up a little bit. The Bucs have gone down a little bit. It looks like the wind's not going to be as bad as we thought. Give us a thorough unpacking, please, of what we're looking at here with Tampa and Philadelphia, game number one today in the Sunday triple header.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of different dynamics merging in terms of this betting market. So the first one, the spread, can be best explained as you can set your watch to the fact that every single Sunday morning that the Philadelphia Eagles are playing a game that day, they have taken money in the betting markets. People with influence in the betting markets in the morning have bet the Eagles. It's happened literally every week the entire season. We were talking about it in week three. It's held true the entire season. So the line movement toward Philly, it's not that there's some random injury we didn't see coming. Obviously, Leonard Fournette's not going to play in the game. That's not what's causing it, in my opinion. What's causing it is the Eagles money that we've literally seen every week over and over and over again. So that's the side movement. We opened 9.5. We were 8.5 most of the week with Tampa being favored. Now we are 7.5. And I have seen basically a 7-115 in a couple places start to appear. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that by game time you could get a somewhat expensive 7 on Tampa without having to pay too much for it, which is very interesting. So that's the side part of it, just the idea of Eagles on game day and what that means. The total has twisted itself basically into a pretzel in terms of what's happened so far this week. When there's the expectation of really bad weather, even if it's early in the week, we understand forecasts can change, but frequently bad weather forecasts on Tuesday and Wednesday will cause massive total movements. Think like snow in Buffalo or snow in Denver or insane wind like the Monday night football game between the Bills and Patriots. That total started dropping 4 to 5 days in advance. Well, we had a terrible weather forecast for this game on Tuesday and Wednesday. The implication was driving rain, 25 to 30 mile per hour winds, almost unplayable conditions, and that caused like a 4-point drop in the total market, basically, which put us on 45 and 45.5 yesterday. So you're thinking, okay, like seems like everyone's kind of aligned that this is going to be really bad. Okay, well, we wake up this morning, it's not going to rain during the game anymore, and the wind speeds have been halved, basically. So it could still be windy. It's Florida. We don't really know what it's going to be, but it might not be that bad. And if that's the case, imagine all the people sitting on these under positions. Like, are you immediately trying to buy out and create a middle and get off this? So that's I think we're seeing some buyback, just all of these under positions being like, I don't want any part of this. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. And people just organically showing up thinking, why is this total so low now that the weather is not very bad? And we're seeing some movement up on the over. So I know of the three games, the one that's had by far the most line movement, the total is the most fascinating because everyone made a bet, everyone took a guess, and it looks like the guess might actually be wrong. And now we really have to figure out what we want to do in the game.
And the total was 49 on Monday. And it's my sense, Ken, that as we approach kickoff at 1 p.m. Eastern here in Tampa, like the total's going to go up if the wind's not going to be bad. Like maybe not like as we do the show right now, but if, you know, the broadcast comes on and it's like the goalposts aren't swaying in the wind, like how is this over not going to take money here? My other takeaway is, and we'll do a full betting breakdown of this game and the other two coming up in the next segment, how are Bucks teaser legs not just absolutely awesome here if the wind's not going to be crazy down to -1.5 quickly here?
Yeah, I think something worth discussing, obviously, in our bets. You know, we have Bucks teasers already from 8.5 to 2.5, so we're definitely in on that as well.
We're just getting started here. Super Wild Card Sunday. You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff. On the other side, line movement for the Cowboys and Niners, the Chiefs and Steelers, and then full betting breakdowns of all three games coming up today. How awesome is this? We get back to the line movement for the three games today. And Ken, let's go to what is unquestionably the crown jewel, the main event of Super Wild Card Weekend.
Absolutely.
A rivalry renewed, one of the best rivalries in the history of the National Football League, at least when you and I were growing up. It was awesome in the 90s, right? And two teams that are both Super Bowl caliber. So it's rare we get a meeting like this on Wild Card Weekend, but that's what we've got, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, where Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys hosting Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. This number has held steady, Ken, and the total's held steady throughout the week. What can you tell us here on Sunday morning?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the It Moved segment, if we were to take all of the six games from this weekend like at any point and be like, all right, how do we want to break up the time to talk about each one? It's like, well, I'd like to spend about 99% of the time talking about Tampa Bay and Philly because we have Philly money and weather and dicey stuff going on all over the place. And it's caused market movement that's very interesting to discuss. This game, although it is the best game, and that's not really debatable whatsoever, even before yesterday's games, we would have said this was the best game. It has not featured a lot of notable line movement. The spread movement in this game has basically ping-ponged back and forth from 3 to 3.5, while not really touching either one minus 110 ever. So like always what we call 3.25 on the show, which is if you want to lay three with Dallas, you basically had to pay more than minus 110 the entire week. There are a couple times when you didn't. And if you want San Francisco +3.5, you've probably had to pay a little more. Or a lot more in some cases throughout the entire week. Now that we've reached game day, I would say 5 cents of movement maybe on average toward Dallas is all that we've gotten so far. So like a very, very, like a microscopic sort of line move toward Dallas. And I think part of the reason for that, honestly, first of all, we're on a very key number. So getting us off that key number of three is going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of money or a lot of information about what's going to happen in the game. We haven't had that. And
just to be clear for the people, the uninitiated, yeah, like there is a massive difference between betting 3 and 3.5, whether you're on the favorite or the underdog, obviously. It's not like, oh, well, it's only a half point. Like, what's the difference? Three is the most key number in the National Football League when you're betting games. So I know if you want action, you want to take a bad number, God bless. But I mean, if you want to win, like these are things that are important and we literally do the work so you don't have to. Ken, please continue.
Yeah. When we say three is a key number, be like, well, what does that mean? It means that the number three in terms of margin of victory lands more often by far really than every other number in it's possible in a margin of victory in a professional football game. Seven would be the next most number that would land. So when we talk about key numbers, usually we're talking about 3 and 7, then you can bring in 10 and 6 and some of the other ones that are a little more impactful than like 5 or 9. And just think about it intuitively, if you're a football fan, like how many times have you watched a game and it's landed 9? How many times have you watched a game and it's landed 5? Obviously, like sort of an elementary discussion, but when we talk about key numbers, it's really important. Just when a number is on 3, it oftentimes takes a lot for it to come off the key number of 3 because there are people who could what's called middle, which means they actually could get like 2.5 and 3.5. If the game lands 3, they win both bets. Stuff like
that. We did that famously on Wild Card Weekend a couple years ago with the Texans and the Bills. Texans minus 2.5, Bills +3.5, Texans win by 3. But that's a story for yearning for the halcyon days of old winning bets on Super Wild Card Saturday.
To be fair, and the Raiders. The Thursday night game with Case Keenum replacing Baker Mayfield, we were also able to set up a middle in that game between the Broncos and the Browns, which was very good, a Thursday night game earlier this season. So anyway, line movement for this game. So we haven't had the types of things that I'm talking about that could move a number. We're also on the most key number. And then also one thing that could move the number would be particularly positive or negative injury reports for either team. We really haven't had that throughout the course of the week. Obviously, the offensive line for each team, like a minor concern the last couple weeks coming into the game, Trent Williams and Tyron Smith, the last couple weeks have been injury concerns. But, you know, Dallas is coming into the game basically about as healthy as they've been, you know, in a while, short of players who are obviously on season ending injured reserve. And the Niners are absolutely as healthy as they've been in forever, despite the fact that their quarterback is playing with an injury. So when all things stay stable, when we don't have weather, when we don't have injuries, when there's no information which could cause a line move, this is kind of what you're going to get. You're going to get the home team on the key number of 3. And that's kind of where we start.
What's your anticipation for where this line closes? Like, will we get a 3.5? Like, if people want to bet San Francisco, I don't think it ever goes down to 2.5, obviously, for Dallas -2.5. Do you think it's more likely the number holds at 3 or that we get a legit, like, flat Dallas -3.5?
I think it is the most likely outcome by far is that we stay in this zone between the two numbers. I really believe that. I think if you were, it's like, okay, well, you have to pick one. It has to go up or it has to go down. It can't just stay the same. Probably a little more likely it goes toward Dallas just because we've already seen that a little bit today. And game day money, it's unlikely to just hard pivot in the middle of game day after the limits have already been raised. Basically, like if it's moving a little bit toward Dallas, it might keep moving a little bit toward Dallas because it's unlikely we're going to get information that's going to cause it to move the opposite way.
You better you bet the BetQL Network. Countdown to kickoff on Super Wild Card Sunday. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley here with you. I'm on Twitter at the Kostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. Ken Barkley on Twitter at Locky Lockerson. The show is on Twitter at You Better You Bet. And if you like the show, check us out in podcast form. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcast. Ken, let's go to Sunday Night Football. It feels like, you know, maybe like being led to the slaughter here a little bit. Roman Coliseum, like Lions versus people, perhaps here. Not the Detroit Lions, but the Kansas City Chiefs against the Pittsburgh Steelers. At least that's what the point spread would tell you. Maybe Pittsburgh can keep this game closer than they did a couple weeks ago when they got absolutely blown out at Arrowhead against KC. What can you tell us here? Line movement, any of it, anything noteworthy? Final game of today's slate when Kansas City hosts Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers in what could be the final game in Ben Roethlisberger's future first ballot Hall of Fame career.
I think in terms of like really like reportable, actionable line movement, we don't have a lot. So I think what I'd rather do here for this game is just sort of draw a line between like the types of analysis you might hear about this game and what's actually happening in the betting market. I think an interesting way to approach this game, you might hear people say like, well, the first meeting was a blowout. Like, so Kansas City, like, and the number has gone crazy. It was 10. Now it's 12 and a half. Now it's whatever. You might hear people say like, well, everyone's going to be on Kansas City because of how that first meeting went. Like the world is on. Nobody thinks Pittsburgh has a chance in this game. These are all things that I could envision happening, because like if you talk to your buddy who lives down the street, he might bet the Chiefs in the game because of that. It's worth noting though that the only line movement that has taken place the entire week in this game, the entire week, despite the things I just said, like Kansas City blew him out, now they have Kelce and Hill and they're both healthy, now the only move we've had this week is on Pittsburgh. It's the only thing that's happened the entire week. So a bad reason to bet this game is like, well, everyone's on Kansas City, so I should bet Pittsburgh because there's actually it opened 13. It's 12 and a half now, and there's a 12 on the board. Everyone's on Kansas City. Anybody who matters
is on Kansas City.
Blew
them out last time. Well, like, and it doesn't always work out like this, but Alabama blew out Georgia in the SEC championship game, and then Georgia won the national championship and covered the spread on Monday. Just saying, not that that's a guarantee of what's going to happen here today. Just that I would not assume KC killed them last time. They could. I just don't think it's like a strong assumption to make. So they're definitely going to kill them tonight, based on what happened a couple weeks ago.
Bills and Patriots played twice. Neither of the games played out like last night's game played out. I mean, the Patriots provided some resistance in Foxborough in the second meeting, at least to the Bills' offense. So. Just don't fall for, like, I think there are a lot of bad reasons to make a bet in this game. That's actually how I would approach it. So any of the narratives about where the money is or what everyone's on or the, this is a number that basically hasn't moved the entire week. It moved a little bit toward Pittsburgh when the limits were really low, and it still hasn't moved very much. So there actually isn't a lot to report. There isn't some massive, you know, sneaky narrative about like what the right side is here or whatever. It's probably just a really good number. It was 10 in the first meeting. Kelce didn't play. Hill had just had COVID. Now they're both playing and healthy. What should the number be? It's also a playoff game, which means a little more home field advantage. So if it was 10 and then we add in all the things I just said, that's how you get to this number. And that's probably why it hasn't moved a whole lot over the course of the week.
Yeah. Do we think it's probably not going to go up to 13, right? And I've been saying all week that would be a potential buy point for me on the Steelers. And we'll touch on this more when we do our best bets and the betting breakdowns. But I don't think a 13 is going to pop here, Ken. Would you agree or disagree with that assessment by me?
Well, I wasn't even sure we were going to see a 12, and I see two of them on the board right now. So I think we're just going to stay in this zone. If it hasn't happened yet, the idea that between now and tonight that we're going to see some massive move, again, it would have to be predicated on information that we can't see coming, right? If it comes out that, oh, you know, actually Tyreek Hill tried to warm up and he aggravated his injury, he's not going to play tonight. Okay, cool. Then we might see some line movement in the game. Travis Kelce, same thing, goes through warm-ups.
And we would slam Mecole Hardman overs if that happens.
Right. And there would be a ripple effect. Right? And it's worth noting, and this could be a very, very just quick kind of aside here, if we get that type of information on any of the three games that are taking place today, a very unexpected absence, then the prop markets for these games, it's not a regular season week. The prop markets for these games are extensive and they have been open for days. So if when Leonard Fournette is announced out yesterday by Adam Schefter that he is not going to play, his markets had been open forever, and it's less his markets and it's more everyone else's markets. Anytime touchdown on other running backs, yardage in some places on other running backs, ways the game could play out, like first touchdown score, anytime touchdown score stuff. So just keep that in mind. If we get information today, these markets, like, it takes a lot to pull all these things down and put them back up again and everything. It's a giant machine. It's like steering a cruise ship. So if we get that information, there are going to be some places to attack, I think, if we do get that today.
Yeah, especially in steering a cruise ship in this day and age, probably not advisable.
Right. That's what's fewer icebergs than there were before.
Yes, but maybe other potential pitfalls and problems on the old cruise ship these days. And that is it. Move with the line movement coming up for the games today. All right.